Hello, everyone. Welcome back to a very special episode of Uncanny Tracks. Our Hush Broken City coverage, it just sprawled, Matt. It went too long. It went too far. Our producers came in and stopped us. So here we are back with part two. We are going to cover the last two issues of Hush. We made it through, was it 10 issues of Hush? We made it through.
Yes, made it through 10 issues, Bob.
You know, that's actually pretty good. That's about 6 minutes per issue of Hush. That's a pretty good rate. We made it through 10 issues. We're going to talk about the last two issues of Hush, and then we are going to talk about, having finished Matt's favorite Batman comic, we're going to talk about Bob's favorite Batman comic, Broken City, in six parts, although we will probably not talk about it in as much detail as we have talked about Hush.
Hush is not Matt's favorite Batman comic.
Where do you get this? I agree. It's no longer your favorite Batman comic, because Hush 2 is now your favorite.
I'd have to really think about what my favorite Batman comic is, but for nostalgia purposes, it would probably be something around Nightfall. But I mean, if I had to pick one, but yeah, this is not it, Bob. But I don't despise Hush as much as you do. I just despise Broken City. So
you do despise Broken City. In a prior episode, we were joking about this, and the compromise we agreed. Hush is my most hated Batman comic, and Broken City is your most hated Batman comic. I think we agreed on that.
Yes, we did. All right, Bob.
All right, Matt. So we're on issue number 618. I think that would make it part 11 of the Hush saga, the Hush epic. It's called The Game. And Matt, this cover triggered from nostalgia for you.
Oh, I love this. This is my favorite cover. It's got dead Jason Todd, his skeletal remains behind Batman with this red sky. And Batman's running towards you. There's just something about the dead Robin that is freaky.
And it is wild as I'm flipping back through the issue how this guy is red in every panel.
It was so intentional. Yeah. It adds a lot to the issue.
Foreshadowing the Red Hood.
Dark days ahead.
Matt, you've made a good point about the art here. I'm going to make a really petty point, the petty carping point that I usually wouldn't make, but it's a Jeff Loeb comic, so I feel liberated to make it. The Purloined Letter wasn't the first detective story.
Isn't it The Murders and the Rue Morgue?
Yeah, saying what actually is the first detective story is a highly debatable thing, but if you were going to give it to something, most people would probably give it to Edgar Allan Poe's first Dupin story, The Murders in the Rue Morgue, not his third Dupin story, The Purloined Letter. I do want to say that in this fight comic, you know, well, I won't spoil who it is yet, but in this fight comic between Jason Todd, older, and Batman, man, gray-haired Jason Todd does look a lot like Jason Blood, I think.
Really does. And did you get like the whole gray hair thing was supposed to fit in with the Lazarus bit of the whole part of that?
I did, because they sort of explain that a little later.
Yeah, I remember that being a thing, and that was so cool to me. Now I look back and God, that was so dumb.
We have the big reveal here of who Hush's man on the inside was, right? And it was Harold. Again, this is a bad comic. It's a really weird way to bring Harold back into the story. But Batman still being willing to forgive Harold was sweet. I thought that was a nice moment.
It was, man. This was the worst reveal. I remember being so disappointed. And I knew who Harold was.
Yeah, we both did. We both did.
If I had known who Harold was, I would have been even more disappointed.
I guess the other way to say it, though, is who else could it have been, I guess, other than it could have been Chandra King Solving, I guess.
Yeah, they went through so many people. There's no tubby.
It can't be Alfred or Barbara or Jim or what another Robin, right, or Cassie Kane. It can't be any of them.
Well, thankfully, though, in the next issue, they kind of give you a flashback of who he was.
I guess I sympathize with Loeb with that, right? Because there's no way to do it right. Because if you explained who Harold was before, it would be like, oh, obviously Harold is going to be betrayed. Speaking of the end, let's go to issue number 619, part 12 of 12, The End.
Yeah, there's Tommy Elliot apparently could fight pretty well and fights Batman. Where did Tommy Elliot learn to fight?
Matt, the comic already answered this. He learned it on the mean streets of Philly.
He was a doctor, surgeon, a surgeon of everything. He's a cosmetic surgeon, bone surgeon,
brain surgeon.
Yeah, brain surgeon. He's got all the surgeries.
I do have to say, it really made me laugh on 268 where Batman wonders if maybe Maxi Zeus is Hush. I don't think we picked up on that when we were kids. At least I don't remember picking up on it. But that's really funny, the idea that Maxi Zeus might have been Hush.
That's like one of the few villains that was left out of Hush. Maxi Zeus, Bane.
Amygdala.
Who else?
Ventriloquist, Cornelius Cirque, Firefly, Firebug. Mr. Freeze is pretty big.
He was left out of Nightfall, though, as well, which is so weird because the animated series did him so much justice. Jeez.
Oh, yeah. He was hardly in the comics before the animated series, man. I just totally forgot this is where Harvey Dent came back, man. I thought that happened later, like the actual Jason Todd resurrection happened later.
Do you think that maybe Loeb just shot all of his shot on for Harvey Dent with Long Halloween and Dark Victory, that he just doesn't really know what to do with him?
Well, it's weird because one of the good things about Long Halloween, at least in my memory, I haven't read it in 20 years, but in my memory, I feel the friendship between Gordon, Harvey, and Batman is handled really well. And what it really amps up the tragedy of Harvey becoming Two-Face. And it almost makes you a little nostalgic of, I want to see a few more year one adventures before Harvey turns and when it's still Harvey, Gordon, and Batman. And so you would think it would be natural that you could get some of that chemistry back. And you get a little bit with Harvey being friendly with Gordon, right? But on the other hand, because it's not in Batman's focus at all, because he's obsessed with Catwoman and obsessed with Hush, it just feels like third or fourth fiddle to this whole story.
Yeah, it doesn't really go anywhere until 1 year later, I think was the name of the big overarching.
1 year later was the name of the, how would you say, the initiative, right? Of after Infinite Crisis, yes. Every comic jumped ahead 1 year later, and then 52 filled in the gaps. And then I think the actual Batman 1 year later story was it Face the Face by James Robinson and Leonard Kirk?
He becomes Two-Face again in that.
Yeah, because they show him being the vigilante protecting Gotham, because during the year time jump, Batman goes to Nanda Parbat, like, to up his game. And so Harvey protects Gotham, but then, yeah, that story is Harvey falling back into being Two-Face. I remember it being really good, but I have no idea if it would hold up, and I'm not sure if I want to revisit it.
Yeah, I'm in agreement with that. I did have the issues. I just don't remember enough about it. He scores himself again.
I had the trade paperback, which had a pretty cool cover, as I recall. Well, Matt, let's see. I do want to say we have the reveal of who the actual mastermind here besides Hush has been. And I do like the idea that the Joker joins in on the gag with the Riddler. He hates the Riddler, but he's like, you know what, Riddler? That's a good joke. I'm a comedian, and I can admit that a Jason Todd joke is worth doing, so I'll help you.
Yeah, on the page with the Riddler, Bob, where they're going back and forth, and you have Batman, and you have all these text bubbles around the whole image of Batman talking to the Riddler. Have you ever seen that many text bubbles on a page?
My initial response was to poo-poo you and be like, Matt, I've read Chris Claremont X-Men comic. Yeah. Better believe I have. But going back and looking at it, no, you're right. It's crazy, dog.
This is so awful. But I remember when I would go back, I would reread the issues. I would get to that part sometimes and just go past it. Like, I don't want to read all that. I'm too tired to read all that. I'll just go to the next page. I remember what he said.
Fair, man. Fair.
I think I
remember really hating this as a twist. I think I hated it when we were kids. I would say as an adult, I still think it mostly sucks, but I do like the Riddler knowing who Batman is, but having to keep quiet about it because it would ruin the value of it if he told anyone. I think that's cool. That's a neat idea.
Using the League of Assassins piece to kind of keep him in check. I like that as well. It just tied it all back nicely. If you were a new reader to comics in 2002 and you heard about Hush, Jeff Loeb, Jim Lee doing this thing, you know, that's going to be huge. You saw this really cool looking art that you don't like, but it's appealing to most people. Do you think this will give you a proper introduction to modern Batman?
I would say no. And you're probably going to disagree with this. But to me, the cool thing about Batman villains is having a story about Batman and the villain. Jeff Loeb doesn't do that because he writes these 13-part epics where each villain shows up in one issue, but they don't have a story. They're just an appearance for an appearance sake. It doesn't do much to introduce the villains to you beyond a general, oh, this is what they look like. It doesn't give you any sense of why they're cool, what the type of stories they are in. So, no, I don't think it's a good introduction. It does have Nightwing, Tim Drake, Barbara Gordon, but I think you would admit, and I would definitely say, these are not good uses of Dick Grayson, Barbara Gordon, and Tim Drake. Like, especially not good uses of Barbara Gordon and Tim Drake. The Nightwing stuff's okay. I agree with you. It has most of the cast in it, but whatever.
It gives you their history, though, Bob, to the most part. I mean, it tells you who they are, how they fit in with the mythos, what their purpose is. I mean, it does do that. Now, the villain thing I will agree with, that it is more of a gauntlet type situation where he's just going through one villain after another in each issue. But you're at least You know what they look like visually. You get most of their motive. Most of them are motivated by cash or whatever Hush had to offer. So you have that piece. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You get their motivation from that. So there's a lot there to introduce someone that, I mean, consider if you've never heard of Batman before, which I think is crazy, but and then this was the first comic you picked up. You could figure out what's going on.
I would say the most important thing would be not that the comic explains stuff, but that it's good. It's not good. Obviously, I don't think that, but I think even like, if you give this to a person who's not steeped in what comic book storytelling is, yeah, I don't think they're going to think this is a very satisfying mystery.
Okay, I see. Yeah, and I agree with you on that, because even back then, I was not very satisfied at all with them introducing Tommy Elliott to just be into being the villain.
The Tommy Elliott backstory is just the hackiest of hack things.
Let me enter with the thing I was going to say about the Riddler. They figured this out with the movie version that they put out with the DC animated film. They realized that having Tommy Elliott as the main villain was not going to work. So they flip-flopped it, and Riddler was actually the one who was over everything. And Tommy Elliott was the red herring.
I think I watched that movie, but it didn't stick with me at all.
It's worth a watch just to get a different perspective. And I actually will probably go back and rewatch it today now that I'm thinking about it, because I want to, now that Hush is so fresh in my mind. But it's a different ending. That's what I remember. If it totally isn't what I just said it was, I apologize. But I do know Riddler takes a much bigger chunk of what happens. He's a much bigger piece of it.
If I'm remembering it correctly, isn't it also the fourth film? They did a trilogy loosely adapting Grant Morrison's Batman run, and then they did Hush as a follow-up to that.
Yes.
Interesting. Interesting. I don't know. If I were going to give somebody a Jeff Loeb Batman comic, I would still, even though I think it has problems too, I would definitely give them Long Halloween over this. And not just because I prefer Tim Sale to Jim Lee.
For a modern audience, this was the Batman. But at the same time, Bob, I feel like they were trying to push their interpretation of what they wanted Batman to become. So maybe that's also a piece of this. This is what they want Batman to be in the future.
I just feel like you, even though you do get like a basic history and a basic orientation of the other vigilantes and the villains, I still just don't think it gives a good sense of why you should care about Tim Drake or Barbara Gordon or Scarecrow or Lady Shiva, for example. It gives you a good orientation of like Batman Superman's relationship, sure, I'll admit that, and Batman and Catwoman's relationship, but why should you care about Oracle or Tim Drake or any of the villains who are not the Joker? Or the Riddler.
Because Joker shot her. That's why she cared about Oracle, Bob.
Well, Matt, should we move to one of my favorite Batman comics?
I guess, Bob. Let's move on to Broken City. Broken City.
Yeah. So we're going on to the very next issue. What a jarring transition, Matt. From 619 to 620. This is Broken City Part 1.
My God.
And Matt, do you notice any similarities?
Yeah, Bob. The issue opens the same way as Hush, Bob. Batman's beating Killer Crocs.
Yeah, man. Yeah.
It opens the same way. The exact same way.
See, one of the things I like about this comic is that it has even more of a voiceover than Hush. Hush has a lot of voiceover because God knows Jeff Loeb loves to write a voiceover. But Brian Azzarello's Batman voiceover sounds like a Philip Marlowe narration from one of Raymond Chandler's novels.
Which is why Bob likes Broken City. There it is.
And so you get great lines. Like, I'm going to pick a favorite line from each issue, and you get great lines like, "This rain, if it comes from God, it's not his tears. I have to confess, I think there's a little of me in God, a sense of humor nobody gets," which I think was a prophetic. That line predicted how Mad and many other fanboys would hate this comic.
This is what it is, Bob. You've already hit it with this first issue, so maybe we don't have to cover the others. Basically, my Batman voice and your Batman voice are slightly different. You like yours to sound that way, and I like mine to sound like Batman from Batman, the animated series, who does not often sound like Philip Marlowe. You're trying to make it sound like some like hard-nosed detective novel.
Yeah. Well, and I do like a Batman who's not full-on sadistic, but a little more sadistic and has a little bit more of a dark sense of humor. Again, Batman comics shouldn't be realistic, but on a certain level, probably to keep doing this, you would have to have a grim sense of humor about it.
Let me introduce you to All-Star Batman, Bob. I bet you'd really enjoy it.
I would have to reread All-Star Batman and Robin the Boy Wonder, give it its full name. I would have to reread it to say for sure. But I think I did enjoy it more than any Jeff Loeb Batman comic.
Oh, well. All right, Bob. What does that say about Bob? All right. Let's keep going.
Yeah. So my favorite art from this issue, page 8 of 620, and it's a close-up on Killer Croc's toothless mouth as he hangs upside down and it's bleeding. It's very gross. It's very visceral. I love Riso's art. I just adore Riso. The rhythm for this is I'm going to pick a favorite line of dialogue and a favorite piece of art, and Matt is going to run down the plot. Does that seem like a fair division of labor?
Yeah, I'm just going to tell you what happens in the issue, because I have a feeling that most people have probably read Hush, but I don't think many people have read Broken City.
Fair. More people should read Broken City, but not many have.
Here's a couple things that happen in this issue, Bob. Batman throws a pimp hat like Oddjob from the Bond films. They talk a lot about Croc's new dentures, and then Batman breaks those dentures. Batman acts like he might have sex with Angel's girlfriend. Batman saves the girlfriend from being raped. And then Angel kills the parents of a young boy off panel. And it clearly shows that Batman was too late to save them. That's what happens in this issue.
Or was it Angel who killed the parents?
Yeah, well, that's why I made it clear, Bob, it was off panel. We don't know. Because when Azzarello doesn't want you to know something, he doesn't want you to know.
That's good. So what happens in issue number 621, Matt?
Well, Bob, in the second issue of Broken City, Batman talks to Crispus Allen on the phone while he's grilling some steak.
And it's important to note that he undercooks that steak. He was talking all this trash to Crispus Allen about how, oh, I don't stress about grilling meat. It's fine. And then he undercooked it.
He was so stressed out. He messed up his meat. That's right. This is the Batman comic. Batman breaks Croc's dentures again in a strip club.
And let me just say about this, my two favorite things of this issue relate to that. Number one is Croc thinks he's going to get a lap dance from a stripper, and he thinks the stripper is tying him to the chair. And then he opens his eyes and it's Batman. And his response is, not what I was expecting, but what the hell? Take it off. Also, when Batman beats up Killer Croc, he does it by working the stripper pole, Matt. Batman swings around the stripper pole like it's the fireman's pole from Batman 66 to knock out Killer Croc's dentures.
Yeah, he does, Bob. Sure does. After that, Bob, Batman gets a stand-up to him about a character that we, the reader, can't see.
And to go ahead and spoil it, this will turn out to be Little Boy, who's part of the two big new characters who, you know, really took over the Batman mythos after they were introduced in Broken City.
Yeah, they're awesome, Bob. Especially when you can't see them.
Oh, yeah. No. Yeah, that's really different than Hush, where you see everything, Matt.
Bob, there's a page where Batman is getting punched and you can't see who's hitting him. That's so different. Like that,
because Little Boy is so fast, Matt.
Speedster, I guess. Is that what it's supposed to be?
There literally is the line, fast is too slow a word to describe how she moves.
Okay.
All right, Matt. Hit us with what happens in issue number 622, Broken City 3.
In Broken City 3, Bob, Batman extracts his own tooth at the beginning. Batman beats the Penguin. It ruins his business. Batman stalks Angel's girlfriend and then saves her from a Scarface drive-by. Scarface's speech impediment of not being able to pronounce B is no longer a thing.
Look, man, sometimes people just drop stuff. It's not that big a deal.
Azrael completely forgot about it.
The things I wanted to stress in this issue, the issue opens, I think, after Little Boy has knocked Batman unconscious and he'll wake up and have to extract his tooth. But while he's unconscious, he has a dream of his parents getting killed. But he also has, in Broken City, we really establish Batman as having a death wish, right?
Right.
So his dream is that the Joe Chill would have just killed him too. And the final panels on page 4, where you see this dream of boy Bruce Wayne getting shot in the head, it actually is a really cool image because it does make Bruce look like a broken ventriloquist doll. And I do think it is a really interesting foreshadowing of Scarface coming into the comic.
Yep. Scarface makes his way into the comic. He wasn't in Hush because
he was left out.
He was busy doing stuff.
Yeah, he was busy, you know, spoilers, he was busy knocking up Angel Lupo's sister, Matt.
That's right, Bob. So while Hush was running around doing all that Hush stuff, Ventriloquist was making babies.
Yeah, man. Getting down.
You think Ventriloquist was making babies or Scarface?
It's definitely Ventriloquist because the way they portray it, Scarface doesn't care about her and Ventriloquist does. In some way, the referendum here is just, I like Frank Miller Batman a lot more than you do because this is totally Frank Miller Batman. It's totally Dark Knight Returns in year one. I don't think it's any coincidence that when Frank Miller did Dark Knight 3, he got Brian Azzarello to write it. And to get into the Frank Miller-ness of it all, on the last page of issue 3 of 622, you have this great speech from Batman. I'm sick of getting nowhere. I let Scarface know that the only cure for my sickness was Angel Lupo. That made me feel better, but not 100%. And then he holds Scarface the doll under a boiling water tap and turns it on, scalding the doll. And he said, to feel better would take the rest of Gotham knowing the cure. I turned the entire city into my doctor. which is very much a reference to that famous moment in Dark Knight Returns where Batman tells the mutant before beating him, "I'm a surgeon and this mud pit is my operating table."
That's a long way to go for that, but yeah, I can see it.
And then definitely that last page in this issue, just Batman with this evil, evil grin as the steam that scalded Scarface is rising up. It does look like Frank Miller art that Eduardo Risso is doing here. But also, do you remember the cover by Jose Luis Garcia Lopez from the trade paperback of Batman Venom?
Vaguely.
It looks that expression of Batman reveling and melting Scarface really looks a lot like Batman on Venom.
It's so teethy.
It's a toothy grin. It's a very toothy Batman grin. Which is ironic, given the importance of teeth in the rest of the series.
Bob, it's a big piece of this arc is the teeth thing. Lots of felt dentures and teeth.
What happens in issue number 623, Broken City Part 4?
Batman meets the invisible villain from the second issue. It's a girl named Little Boy, and there's this big-ass dude named Fat Man.
You get that's a reference to two bombs that we dropped over Japan. And I guess it's worth saying that Fat Man does seem to be Japanese or Japanese American.
And then they talk to Batman while they're butchering some meat.
Oh, man, which I just want to say is like some of my favorite art of them just hanging out in this fish shop and Fat Man just chopping fish's heads off. And there's all these fish hanging on hooks. It's enough to make you a vegetarian. It's real gross, but real cool.
And then Batman just goes out and stops random crimes until we find out that Angel's sister was pregnant. So now the cops actually care about the case. Batman then beats the shit out of Killer Croc again until Angel's girlfriend shoots at Croc.
Yeah, Margot shoots at Croc. And then the two things I wanted to flag from this issue, Matt, on page 13, there's a really cool image of Batman perched on top of a statue of a swordsman. And it really looks like some of the statues in Batman Mask of the Phantasm. I thought it was a very, very cool image. Really interesting resonance there. And then the bit of dialogue I just adored from this issue is Croc has finally given up after losing two or three sets of teeth to Batman. He's finally given up on having the dentist replace him. And he's just reveling in the broken teeth. And Batman asks him, "How'd your dentist take the news that you like your broken teeth?" And Croc just says, "In the throat."
Croc is such a bad man. It's your murderer.
I actually do think, and I know this doesn't work for a lot of people, including you, but I actually do think Brian Azzarello is a really witty writer. There's a lot of puns. There's a lot of motifs. And some people find it cringe, but I find it like really clever how he keeps threading things like this through. I think it's great.
We'll continue threading things as well here. We'll go on to issue number 624.
Broken City Part 5. What goes down, Matt?
So Angel's girlfriend had his sister killed.
Yes.
That's what we find out. And then,
which I would just say very much fits into her whole thing. Like the first time we meet her, she says, "I'm Margot Farr, far into the wall for my man." She says her motive the first page we see her, and then finding out she was behind her man's sister getting killed makes sense.
It's like the purloined letter. We knew she was it from the start, right?
Yeah, but Brian Azzarello is not a dumbass. And I think it's the first detective comic or detective story. I guess I'm a dumbass too.
Penguin then tells Batman where Angel is actually located.
Which I also just want to say the source of my favorite line, Batman to Penguin, "Oswald, what brings you out on such a rainy night? The fish jumping?"
He goes there and fights Fat Man and Little Boy. Fat Man gets really mad at Angel for pulling a gun on him, but then Angel gets shot. Shit, over and over. Batman just beats up the same people until eventually stuff happens.
Wait, are you criticizing a Batman comic because Batman beats up people in a Batman comic? Is that what you're doing, Matt?
Man, he's beating up the same people though. I wanted to beat up.
Oh man, I really enjoyed those mini issues of Hush where Batman did not beat up somebody.
I wanted to beat up people that are it's all the same people over and over again.
Matt wants a new villain each issue who's not introduced at all, has no motivation, nothing that you would actually get from a Scarecrow or Ra's al Ghul or Riddler story is present, or a Lady Shiva story. They're just there for name recognition and clout. That's what Matt wants from a comic.
Well, he said I got Fat Man and Little Boy here. I'm enjoying.
You get revenge on Fat Man and Little Boy for beating up Batman, right? And you get to see, I think it's a really amazing scene of Angel walking in and Batman is just finished beating up Fat Man and Little Boy, and especially Fat Man and Batman are just bleeding out.
He's hovered over them like he just bit into their faces. Some kind of animal that's hovering over his food.
I mean, he literally is the Batman. What goes down in 626, man?
Sorry,
625. My bad. We're going to get to what goes down in 626 in just a minute.
I think 626 is a better show.
Oh, fuck you for saying that. Fuck you for saying that a Judd Winnick comic. It's one thing to prefer a Hush, but you prefer a Judd Winnick comic.
All right. So in Broken City 6, we find out Ventriloquist knocked up Angel's sister. Okay. Batman then visits the Joker in Arkham Asylum, kind of how he visited Riddler in Arkham Asylum. And that goes into the sewer, and we get a revised version of Wayne's death. So there's that. I did not like that.
I don't like it either. I will say I don't like revisions of Batman's origin. Batman should just feel grief. I don't need it. He's not Spider-Man. He doesn't need to feel guilt.
Right.
But I do want to say, to slightly defend Azzarello, even though I don't like this, this is not the first time we've seen a writer do something like this. Jim Starlin in the late 80s does something like this where, like, Batman's last, he throws a tantrum to get them to take him to the movies, or Bruce Wayne does. So I don't like this as an added texture to Batman's origin, but a lot of writers do, and a lot of writers have done it. So I just want to throw that out there, that Az is not the first to go there.
Well, they also pulled it in Batman Forever, too. This was the subplot.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that. You're right. Yeah.
But we find out that it wasn't Bruce's fault through the journal, the diary. All right. So, Bob, Batman finds a gun in the sewer. He takes all the bullets out of the gun, and then he puts it in the hands of the kid in the hospital.
We know it's the kid because he, in a fit of rage, just starts pulling the trigger of the gun over and over again. It's a very nice visual demonstration of the kid's guilt. And I would just ask you to compare that actually moving and visually clever scene to the page you drew my attention to with the most word balloons that have ever been put on a comics page, as Batman and Riddler have to explain the prior 11 issues to the reader. I think between those, this is much better writing, I'm going to say.
All right, Bob, you win that. I got no argument there.
All right. So I just want to say to end out, the two things I really like about this issue, I really like this. In the start, we saw that it was Ventriloquist who killed Angel because he blames Angel for Angel's sister's death. And we see Ventriloquist turning away from Batman and holding the Tommy gun that's smoking from killing Angel. That was a really cool visual image. I also really thought this was not the best Batman Joker. Probably Grant Morrison should get that for their work in across that run.
Yeah.
Or maybe even Tom King, maybe. But I do actually really like this Batman Joker interchange. I do like Joker being, and this is, I don't think, original to Az, but the idea of Joker as a super Batman fan, who's Batman sometimes comes to Hannibal Lecter style for advice, that Joker notices things that he doesn't. And I did like the exchange from Batman to Joker. You're crazy. Or Joker's like, no, I'm focused. I adore this comic. I think it's a really tight mystery. I haven't stressed enough how much I love Eduardo Risso's pencils. I think Patricia Mulvihill's colors over Risso are great. Azzarello and Risso did 100 Bullets, which might still be my favorite comic. Very happy to see them get on Batman, even though I remember being irritated a little bit at the time because for Risso and Azzarello to do Batman, they took 100 Bullets bi-monthly instead of monthly for 6 months so they could do Batman.
That's rough.
100 Bullets was maybe in like the issues 60s or 70s by this point.
Well, Bob, I have an unanswered question. It's just blowing my mind. Where's Alfred in this whole story?
Obviously, Alfred's around. I don't think Alfred has to be in every story. Just like I don't think Gordon has to be in every story, right? Here, Crispus Allen is the contact instead of Gordon.
Actually, Gordon wasn't on the force at the time.
Oh, I thought he was still on the force in Hush, but was he not at that point?
He was not, Bob.
Okay. See, but yeah, it's nice to have good uses of Alfred, but if a writer doesn't have a good thing to do with Dick Grayson, Tim Drake, or Alfred, or Barbara Gordon, I would just as soon them not have them in the Batman comic than have them in the Batman comic and it not work well.
You know when Alfred would have been really good in this comic, Bob?
To help Batman extract his tooth?
To make a mistake?
Yeah, but see, he does it to relax, Matt. He does it to relax.
But it wasn't very relaxing.
Matt, you need to do something to relax after I put you through this trauma. You need to go grill a steak, dog.
Following Broken City, we had Judd Winnick as the Crow Flies. And As the Crow Flies was a story where Scarecrow becomes the Scare Beast, I believe, correct?
Scarecrow goes all Hulk, basically.
I had all these issues. I had to wait until issue number 629 before they finally got back around to actually mentioning anything in the Hush story.
So was it As the Crow Flies, and then did he go straight into Under the Red Hood?
I believe so, yes. Because that under the fear toxin, Batman had hallucinations of the Robin Hush from a Grave issue.
Well, Matt, if you want to, we could discuss these issues, but I don't know that.
Oh, no. I do not
to.
Want to, Bob, at all.
Okay.
Trust me.
No, okay.
Not at all. The only reason I mention them is because we did read them. And I can't even find them online and trade.
That's surprising. I wonder I bet they have something that's just called like Judd Winnick Complete Collection or Under the Red Hood Complete Collection. Because I do think it's not that related, but I do think it does set up a couple things that Under the Red Hood carries on. I did want to ask, Matt, are you good with maybe starting Gotham Knights next and doing about 12 issues of that? That way we can build up to the second Hush story, Hush Returns.
Let's definitely take a look at Gotham Knights next. I do want to look at, we are going to have to hit those Hush stories though with Hush. Hush did some crazy stuff in Gotham Knights.
I think, listeners, our plan, maybe we'll revise this, but I think our plan is to cover Gotham Knights, the whole series, in 12 or 15 issue increments. And we probably won't talk about it in as detailed a way as we talked about Hush and Broken City. I don't think either Matt or I have read the early issues of Gotham Knights, which are by Devin Grayson, are actually supposed to be good. They have a good reputation. And then we would get into the wild Scott Beatty run on Gotham Knights with Bane as Batman's potential half-brother. Then we would get into the wild Hush Return stuff.
Gotham Knights was wild, man. Gosh. If you haven't read any of it, I suggest we'll probably have to summarize a lot more of what happened in these issues, Bob, because I don't think people are going to be...
Oh, for sure. For sure.
Yeah. With Hush, I know we kind of skimmed over things pretty quickly, but we assume most people are familiar with Hush if we're breaking these things down issue by issue. And we would probably cover it more like we do with Broken City, where I give you more of this is what's happening in it, the key point.
The next thing I wanted to hit, Matt, was I did want to discuss how we would rank Hush and Broken City. And I don't think there's any way we can agree on these, but let's see. So right now we've discussed and ranked 6 comics on this podcast. To run it down for the listeners, we've got the John Hickman run on Fantastic Four at number 1. We've got the Sanford Green and John Hickman Doom one-shot at number 2. We've got Junie Ba's Excellent Boy Wonder at number 3. We've got Christian Ward's Excellent Batman City of Madness at number 4. We've got a prior Brian Azzarello joint, Suicide Squad Get Joker at number 5. And then we have the Werewolf by Night one-shot by Derek Landry and Fran Gehlen, which was pretty good too, even though it's currently at the bottom. I would say I want Hush to go at number 7 below Werewolf by Night. Where would you want Hush to go, Matt?
I would put Hush after Robin Bone.
You would put it above City of Madness by Christian Ward.
This is so hard, Bob, because I don't feel like those stories have the same impact as Hush has. So putting them below it doesn't make sense.
You're welcome to rank on impact, but I mean, to me, I'm ranking on my subjective enjoyment and some sense of what I feel like the quality is.
If that's the case, that is where I would put it. I would put it. What was Robin?
Boy Wonder is number 3. City of Madness is number 4.
Hush would be number 4. And then I would put Broken City above the Joker book.
You want it at number 4. I want Hush at number 7. The compromise thing would be, what if we put it over Suicide Squad Get Joker as the new number 5?
Okay. I can agree with that. That works.
Okay. So that we're going to put Hush in as our new number 5 in between City of Madness and Suicide Squad Get Joker. Then you want to put Broken City in as the new number 6, under Correct. Hush at 5 and above Suicide Squad Get Joker at 7. My question is, since I would do the inverse, I would put Broken City above Hush, but maybe below City of Madness. Do you want to flip a coin to see if Broken City goes above or below Hush?
No, Bob, have you thanked me for this podcast recently? You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying, Bob? Yeah, have you really thanked me for this podcast?
Do you want to call heads or tails, man?
I'm trying to make a Zelensky joke, Bob, and you won't let me. Jesus Christ.
Oh, I didn't realize it was a Zelensky joke.
God damn.
My bad. Don't you tell America how it's supposed to feel? Don't you tell America how it's supposed to feel, Matt.
Bob, you've talked enough today. You have talked enough. I'm kidding.
Matt, are you recording this while wearing a suit?
Yeah.
Why do you disrespect our listeners by recording this while not wearing a suit?
I'm wearing white socks and brown shoes, Bob. That is good enough for us. All right.
I'm not wearing socks at all, Matt.
Back to what we're saying, Bob. Yes, we can flip a coin, Bob. Let's do that. That's the only one that's going to work. All right. Flipping a coin. You were probably freaking out for a second thinking I was having some jokes fall flat way too old. All right.
No, that's one I should have got. It was just yesterday. I should have gotten it.
All right. Flipping a coin. Here we go. All right, Bob. I call heads. All right, ready? You're trusting me to say it.
I am trusting you to say it.
It came up heads, Bob.
Damn. So Hush. Batman Hush is the new number 5. Batman Broken City is the new number 6. But you do at least, you like this better than Suicide Squad Get Joker?
Oh, hell yeah. Yes.
I know it's been a while since we talked Get Joker, but do you remember why you like this one better?
I rated Get Joker much.
I think Get Joker doesn't give you a decisive ending, which I enjoyed, but you didn't. Thing you dislike about Azzarello, and also maybe you might dislike about Morrison if you really thought about it, is how much stuff they do off panel. And I think there's a lot more of that than in Broken City and Get Joker. So that's probably where you were coming from with that.
Well, I gave them both 2 stars.
Thank you for tolerating me enough to read my favorite Batman comic, Matt.
Everybody sucks still. I'll try it again in a couple of years.
I have found the weird thing of once we talk about things on the podcast, it, I actually have very little desire to revisit them. Something about it, it almost feels like an exorcism. It's weird.
Well, you say that now, but I'm saying, like, you know, 20 years from now, Bob, you want to go back, because reading stuff in hindsight is so different. Reading Hush as a 40-year-old versus a 20-year-old, I just called on to different things.
It is fascinating, man. It is fascinating. Well, it was a pleasure talking Hush and Broken City with you. Our plan is to be back in a week and talk the first 12 issues of Gotham Knights. We'll hope you'll join us, listeners. I am Bob. That is Matt. And have a great night, everyone.
Thanks for listening.